In the many years I have been around, for 40 plus years, a lot of things I once used to believe, and I had to come to understand. Now, I didn't come from the Christian world like most of you have done. I came from a non-Christian world. But when I came into understanding the Word of God, starting in the age of 19, I really did not make a real commitment to God until I was 25 or 26 years old, to be honest with you, up front. And okay, had every reason under the sun not to do it, you know. But the truth being is, all right, I try my very best today. I hope that every one of you in your heart and your soul and your mind and your spirit are trying everything you can to understand God. And one of the things that I have tried to shoot for is to have us learn, not because I want it. I have been praying to God endlessly. I want to know what you think. I want to know what you say. I want to know how your mind is. I want to know how you're... He says, all you're getting, you must get what? Understanding. It's not just I know your law. I know what day the Sabbath is. Or I know what I should do on a holy day. I know what I should be doing today. I know I should eat this food, not that food. I know I should conduct myself this way and not that way. I want to have a deeper understanding, because that is what he says. And everything we search after in our world, in our life, it is to find out what it is that he wants us to understand, not just to obey. Obedience is just the beginning of things. To understand, not understand how you think, how I think, how the world is, how quote, the world was created, or how an animal was formed, the beauty and the greatness. You know, he says, I want you to understand me. And that door is wide open for each and every one of us. There's not a one of us in this room that cannot come before the Creator of heaven and earth and come and say to him, I want to know what you're thinking. Do you remember we went through the book of Exodus and we talked about a man named Moses on the second time went to the mountain? What did he say? I don't know you. Who are you? After the great tremendous things of Egypt and fleeing and going to Mount Sinai and hearing the Ten Commandments and up there for 40 days, come down and there's a cursing taking place, death taking place. He says, I don't know who you are. I want to know you. You have found kindness in me. You like me. You actually are kind to me. I want to know. If it's possible, then please take my life for the life of all of the people of Israel. And, of course, the Creator said, no, you're not the one. And so, if we have that heart, that mind, that soul, that being, when Daniel talked about, my son, Daniel talked about the heart of God. We are all after this. We're all seeking the very same thing. When we look at the story of Daniel, of David, we begin to see a heart. Now, did David make it all the way perfection? No, he did not. But what was David's process in life? To seek the heart, the mind, the spirit, the character, everything you can think about with God. He is an example for us today. We can do the very same thing as seek the very same way, well, not the way, but seek after him to understand and ask him, say, what is it that you want me to do? I want to know you. I want to not only just praise you, I want to be in your presence. I want to be part of your world. I want to be part of your life. Now, so here we are today. We have looking forward to Monday. What is Monday? It's the September 20th, Day of Atonement. But I asked my friend, Dave, to put this banner back up. How many of you were here last week? Do you remember what I said the two silver trumpets were for? Two main things. Calling forth of the elders of the house of Israel unto Moses. The second one is calling all of the assembly of Israel unto Moses. Why is it so important they must be called unto Moses for? Do you remember what God said to Moses when he didn't really want to go? Remember back in the first part of Exodus? He said, I don't really want to go there. You know, call somebody else. And of course, God was a little bit upset with him. Curry terrified him, to be honest truth. Frightened him, scared him to death. And Moses had all sorts of excuses, and God didn't accept a single one of them. All right? We know that, you know. We look back on, quote, something I want to understand, for you to understand a little bit today. We look back upon what's called hindsight. All right? Now, we look back on hindsight on the book of Exodus, which we have gone through. In that book of Exodus, which is full of hindsight, it is more full of insight than hindsight. What is it? Everyone in this room has been here for a time being, has tremendous amount of insight. Where did that insight come from? How did you know that? You went back in time to read the hindsight. What happened? Now, in the Christian world, and not so much the Jewish world, I may be critical, but understand this statement, that sometimes we as people, as human beings, have a tendency to say, well, you know, how dumb could the Israelites be? Not knowing the power of God. And I went through this thing with very tedious and very laborious 50 days unto Mount Sinai. And I tried my very best to put you people in their shoes, to be with them as if you knew not what the next day was going to bring. You had no idea, because not a one of those people left Israel, not even Moses, understood what was happening. What was going to happen? They were in a world of unknown. Oh, they were wanting to be delivered not from out of Egypt. They wanted to be delivered from the oppression. They didn't want to leave their homeland, which was the land of Goshen. They didn't want to leave there. They just wanted the oppression to be gone. They wanted the Egyptians to stop putting all these rules upon them and burden upon them and making them do things that is kind of hard for them. They just wanted God just to lift it all up. But that's not how God thinks, is it? He has something entirely different in mind. And Moses did not even know what that was. Even though he was told, this will be a witness to you. They will come to this mountain and they will worship me as a witness to you, Moses, not to the people of Israel, but to you, Moses, that my word is true. Now, Moses didn't like it, did he? He had a hard time. As time went by, we saw this incredible man, Moses, who was terrified and frightened, of scared to death, of picking up a snake by its tail. Because most people would do what with a deadly snake? They would get its head first. Trap its head, get its head. The tail's not going to do anything to you. It's the head going to bite you. Along, God said to Moses, pick it up by its tail. What's wrong with you? You know, well, he didn't say that, but you understand. You know, and you being a terrified person, what are you more afraid of? Now, Moses was more afraid of what was coming out of that bush than he was a snake. And so he picked up this snake by his tail. What did that tell you? Moses had power, was given power over the serpent. He was he afraid? Yes. When God told him to do something, was he afraid? No, because he laid the stick down again before his elders, and it turned into a snake. And he picked it up by his tail, and lo and behold, it became a stay. Now, I'll tell you, if I saw that in my own personal life, my personal being, and I saw a man come up to me, and he's in his 80s, and younger, older than me, and he lays this stick down and turns to the snake, I'd say, look at Moses, back away, because he's going to attack, right? And Moses comes along, picks the thing up by the snake, and says, okay, what's the next piece of evidence do you think? What else do you need to know? All right, that's a powerful message of and by itself. Is that right? Right, true? So it takes, how did the faith of Moses develop? By actions, by deeds, by functioning, what he did, what God has created. Now, the reason why I wanted these horns up, because there's something else that's very important about I am the resurrection and the life. Those two horns. Because we have what's called, it's a Jewish terminology, the 10 days of what? Awe. You're supposed to, quote, blow the trumpet for 10 days. Why? I have not blown the trumpet for 10 days. Have you blown the trumpet for 10 days? How many have blown the trumpet for 10 days? One, two people? Now, I'm not criticizing you who did not. I didn't. So I'm with the ones that didn't. But I had a really serious question. I said, what is this all about? So today, what do you think God uses the trumpets for, or any trumpet, even including the shofar? What's his purpose? What?
A warning.
Get our attention.
The people of God, when they hear the shofar blow, they cry. So it's also an identifier.
Okay. The first three sets of holy days are what? Which is Pesach, which means what? Protection. From whom? Who's the destroyer? God is the destroyer. And we have days of unleavened bread, which leads us across the Red Sea. And what does the Red Sea picture? Moses said so. What was it? Paul said so. What does it mean? Into what? You're going into something. You're going into death. Right? Is that not simple to understand? What happens? You come out on the other side, and what happens? You come up into life. Now, the next step is, what is life? For 50 days, they had to march, go to a place called what? And what is the meaning of Sinai? The thorny mountain, the mountain of thorns. What does that mean?
A snake.
Okay. What do shepherds do when they sleep? Basically, ancient days, what do shepherds do to protect their flock from the wolf when they need to take a sleep at night? They put thorns around the entire encampment of the sheep in order that the wolf will not attack. So in a sense, the thorny mountain, the Ten Commandments, is a hedge around your world, around your life personally, because it's thou shalt, not ye shalt, thou shalt. And so these are things that you put around your world in order to keep the fox out. All right, we'll talk about a fox here today. Hopefully I'll get to it. But I want to ask you a question. What is insight? Come on, open. What is insight? Understanding, okay.
It's using the knowledge you have in a good way, in the right way.
Okay. Where did it come from? How did he deliver it to you? Revelation of what? How he has done it in the past. The same as he did in the past is the same he does now and the same he will do in the future. If you want insight, it comes from the creator of heaven and earth. It doesn't come from any other source. And the insight that is true, which is holy and just and good, is looking back at the time of what took place back during Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. What took place back during the time of Adam and Eve? What took place during the time of Noah? What took place during the... This should give you as hindsight. And we have a tendency in our world, because that's all we look at is hindsight. We don't see insight within the hindsight. But there's tremendous amount of insight that's written in that hindsight that's written down there for you and me today. Now, what is the function of a prophet? To warn, okay?
To tell us what God said.
Brings back in.
Okay. Do not be afraid or be ashamed. Do not be troubled. If you have an opinion, a thought, bring it out. Because that's my function today. Today is a very, very important day. Because it has to do with blowing of the shofar. And if you have an idea or a thought or a belief system or even something that you have believed and you're not quite sure it's really true, spit it out. Because I'm here to try to tell you what the Word says, and if I don't have this message from you, I cannot, or word from you, I cannot tell you whether or not you got it right or wrong. I can't tell you, by the way, the Word of God is going to tell you whether you got it right or not. Right? Daniel.
A prophet, at least the way I look at it, it's the same thing those two horns are doing. The same thing that every one of the prophets have done. They've always done one thing consistently from pattern to pattern to pattern. Bring you closer to God. Bring you into Him, to call you into Him. That's their function. That's what they've always done and probably always will do.
Okay, now we're getting some people got to have some say. Don't be afraid.
To give you understanding.
Okay, Hector? You had something. You raised your hand up.
Is down
now?
I didn't.
Okay.
Oh,
I
was stretching.
Oh, you're stretching.
Sorry.
Nathan.
I'm not sure somebody said this, but it's the typical one. To tell us what's coming down the road. Make a prediction of what's
future thing is going to happen.
And it's all, I noticed that it has to be according to God's plan, because most of the time with false prophets, you can discern because they have selfish ambitions or it doesn't deal with the Word.
You got a comment? I don't know who you are, sir.
I'm Kirk Van Buren.
Christian Buren?
Kirk.
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 I'm Richard.
Good to meet you, Richard.
And you are?
Didi.
I'm not good at hearing. You'll have to speak out. Caleb. Okay. And your comment? Did you have one?
Well, I'll make one. I didn't have one, but...
that's what we're here for.
I see, you know, a prophet is a messenger of truth, and I agree with what's being said, to draw us closer to God, to warn us. A prophet is multifaceted, but the bottom line is to bring us in closer alignment with God and His will.
We're going to learn a new pattern. What you said is not wrong. What you said is true. I want you to bring you into another world, because another world, I didn't say another world, another way of thinking. But you're correct in everything you said so far. I don't have a disagreement with any of what you're saying. No one has missed that mark. On a personal, one-to-one, personal thinking. However, I want to introduce to you something that perhaps is bigger than that. The last three holy days are aimed at what? At aimed at who? The future. Okay? Cry aloud! Spare not! Lift up thy voice like a trumpet and show my people plurality, the whole house of Israel, their transgressions, and the house of Jacob, their sins. This is not just a trumpet about you. You have heard the warning. You have responded to the warning. Blessed be you that God has heard you, heard God and heard the warning, and you're changing everything in your life. But this is about the warning to the entire nation of Israel. All of them, even their enemy, even the guy you don't like next door, even the person that's down the street you have never seen or heard of in entire life. Thou, the prophet, must do something for the whole house of Israel. Because Isaiah is not talking to the individual person. He's ye, all of Israel. We're at the end times. At the trumpet, blowing the trumpet, the very first trumpets are blown to call forth the elders and to call forth the assembly of the people of God. What are they supposed to do after that? Shut up? Oh no. They are being to be able to learn to understand they are to do something. Why would you ever warn anybody? Why would, as a people, as a congregation, why would you warn anybody for?
So we could be prepared.
We could be prepared. So what?
I would say because you love them and you don't want them to miss something.
This is where the love of God, it grows abundantly. And I have said to you before, I will say it to you again today, I do not look at whether you are meeting up to the standards that Richard thinks he ought to meet up to. What do I tell you? I don't look at any flaws, any inability to get along with somebody. I don't judge you whether or not you like this person, don't like that person, or you should love this person, not hate that person. You should not speak evil against that person in your heart, your mind, your spirit. I don't even judge you on that. How do I see you? How do I see you? I see you like a tree. What is the tree doing? It's producing things. Now, the Messiah said something about the tree. What did he say? It cannot bear both bad and good. Therefore, produce that which is good. How have you, in your life, learned to produce that which is good? You have had someone come along, meaning the Messiah, who dug up the ground around about your roots. That's what the parable is all about. Cumbereth the ground, it's an old English word. And the guy says, let me do something with the soil that the tree will produce. And the following year, the tree produced fruit. The picture of the Messiah saying, to his father, spiritually speaking, don't destroy this tree. Don't cut it down. The scripture says, every tree does not produce, my father cuts it down. You remember that's what it says? It's not that Jesus cuts them down, the Messiah cuts it down. It's my father cuts it down. And in the vine, you remember what happens there? What happens if the vine does not produce? Who cuts it off? The father cuts it off. And what does the father do with it? He throws it in the fire. And it just burns up as if it never existed. Every one of you in this room, I see not just a blossom. I see a tremendous amount of fruit. That's how I learned to look at people. I'll be honest with you, 23 years ago, I probably didn't. Because I always kept looking at, you know, oh, you're not living up to what the, you know, you're not doing the Sabbath right. You're not doing this right. You're not doing that right. You're not doing this right. You're not God right. You guys got that wrong. After many, many years later, what is my opinion worth? Well, yeah, it belongs, you know, it's scrap, belongs to the ground, let it bear, let the earth use it, because nobody else can use it. Right? So, what does a prophet do? Listen, he says, yet they seek me daily and delight to know my ways as a nation, not as an individual, as a nation that did righteousness and forsook not the ordinance of their Elohim. They asked of me the ordinances of justice, and they take delight in approaching Elohim. However, comma, and you will hear about that on Monday. That's all they do. I'm not saying that you are doing this. I'm saying how many people in our country, in our world, maybe your next door neighbor, maybe anybody, I'm judging them. I'm just telling them what God is saying. How many of them say, I seek the Lord. I want to be righteous with the Lord. I want to know the laws of God. I want to know what is right, what is right. However, when it comes to instituting them, is it easy? It is not easy. Everyone in this room knows it's not easy. Even the Messiah said, hey, this way of life is not made of cupcakes. The road is not well traveled. Very few look and see. So the prophet is trying to tell, or is warning to tell the whole world, not the whole world, but the nation of Israel, we'll get to the whole world later, because, see, that's what's important, because God says, I deal with Israel first. Mount Sinai dealt with the individual. Passover dealt with the individual. Shavuot dealt with a group. At the end or latter days of great salvation, he's going to call for those who have been the Shavuot, who have been the bread of the earth. Baruch atah Avinu Eloheinu Chamos Elohim Mimeheretz. Are you the salt of the earth? What are you supposed to do? Are you the light of the world? What are you supposed to do? And I'm asking you a real serious question. We have that candle. We write that thing. And Kathy says, we are the light of the world. Messiah made us the light of the world. What are we supposed to do? Burn people up? No. What is the menorah representing? The eyes of the creator of heaven and earth. When you are a light unto the world is being seen through the eyes of God. If that candlestick is hidden under a bush or under a table, it gives no light to the entire group. Never mind, right? We also know that this time period, these 10 days, is called the 10 days of awe. It's really a very, very critical point in time. It is a time of very, very severe judgment. It's when the Lord of Shavuot comes. And he's going to declare war. I heard a statement. It's funny how people try to excuse the actions of Jesus or the actions of Moses. Because the actions of Jesus when he comes is going to be death. What happened during the time of Moses? Was there an action of life or action of death? A lot of deaths. Not only amongst the Israelites, not only among the Egyptians, but amongst the Israelites as time goes by. Do you think God's trying to tell us something? What does a prophet do? Warns you. What does he warn you about? The wrath of God. We don't like to hear that word. We like to hear the love of God, the passion of God. That's true. But once you come and I come to understand something about the Day of Atonement, what does it picture to you? What's it all about? We'll talk about that Monday, but I want to ask you a question. What is the Day of Atonement, the Day of Yom Kippurim? What does it do? What does it represent? Jeff?
Covers the wrath of God.
Covers the wrath of God, okay. For whom? What did John the Baptist say about Jesus when he baptized him? What did he say? There goes the Lamb that does what? Of the what? World. He hasn't done that yet. Must not be a good Messiah. He hasn't accomplished that yet, right? He's lost. He's a lousy leader, right? He has not saved the world at all from sin. On the Day of Atonement, what takes place? We have to fast. We have to be hungry. We don't have any water. We don't have food. We get a headache. We make sure we drink enough water prior to it. Make sure we don't have any salt. We make sure we don't drink strong coffee. Make sure we don't drink tea. We do all these precautions so that our bodies won't feel anything, right? I mean, be honest with yourself. It should feel it. You should feel the loss. You should know what it took for the Messiah to lose his life. What it took for the Messiah to lose his blood. What it took for the Messiah to lose his entire being. He didn't want it gone. He said, if it's possible, O eternal creator, heaven and earth, my Father, if it's possible, would you please take this away from me? And what was the Father's answer? He didn't answer. He went back to him a second time and said, oh, if this could be taken away from me. And for 1 hour again, he said, and no answer. He went a third time. No answer. God didn't answer him. Does God answer your prayers? Wow. Would you like him not to answer them? Well, that's a little hard, isn't it? But it happened to him. And so, the function of a prophet is to do something very, very special. Thou shalt swear unto Yahuwah lives in truth, in judgment, and in righteousness. That's what a prophet does. What does truth do? Oh, it sets you free. Free from what? Each sets you free from the death. Day of Atonement. A huge thing is going to happen. You have had a covering, my people. I shouldn't say my people, God's people. You've had a covering, and God has covered you. with the blood of the Messiah. I cannot argue with the Apostle Paul. I can't argue with the prophets. With the New Testament. But what about those people out there who has not been covered? When the trumpets are sounded, and I went through last week, seal number one, seal number two, seal number three, seal number four, seal number five, seal number six. Took a little while. Seal number seven. Trumpet number one, trumpet number two, trumpet number three, trumpet number four, trumpet number five, trumpet number six. Took a little while. Number seven. You know how fast that went? I did that deliberately because I want you to be aware that I feel very strongly that the wrath of God, when it comes, it's going to come one right after the other. There'll be a lull for people to have time to repent. What are you there for? A lot of you have a belief system, and I'm sorry about this. A lot of you have a belief system that before the first seal's ever broken, you're captured away from this world, and you're up there in heaven somewhere, or you're over there in Petra, or you're somewhere else in the face of the earth, but you are free from seeing sorrow, death, tragedy, destruction, and you are just raptured away into glory of the Lord. I'm sorry. There's not a scriptural backing on that whole statement. You'll be there. I've told you this before. Even though your next door neighbor doesn't like you, doesn't know you, and even wish you weren't even around, when the wrath of God comes, who do you think they're going to turn to? Their enemy? Or you? What kind of hope are you to give them? Are you to tell them, look, you have been warned. I know it's too late for you to repent of everything under the sun. That's not the object with God. The object with God is this. Do you fear Him? Yes, I do. Okay, now that's step number one. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of what? Knowledge. Get to know Him. You get to know who He is. And Mount Sinai, were the people of out there, ask yourself the question, were they cheering, praise the Lord, glory, hallelujah? What were they doing? Trembling, scared to death, so frightened they couldn't open up the mouth and say anything. They were so frightened they had to back away from the mountain. They were terrified. Do you think the world will not be terrified of the Creator of heaven and earth? There's a prophecy here. I'm not going to be able to reach it today. But it says, I will come again as El Shaddai. I will come again as El Shaddai. You have been with me. What does that mean? The destroyer. I will come and I will destroy. Do you think he's saying, well, you know, that's a tongue-in-cheek statement. I really am not going to do that. I'm a kind and gentle and loving person. But at the very same time, everyone in this room knows God is full of tremendous amount of kindness because he's been kind to you. As he was kind to Moses when Moses said, I don't know who you are. You're very kind to me, and you found kindness with me. I don't know who you are. Will you tell me who you are? And he said, okay, down on the mountain second time, I'll tell you who I am. When he came back down, what happened to Moses? You remember? He what? Second time. He'd been in God's presence. He saw that God really did and desired and loved and was very, very kind to these people. Does God chastise you? You know, we live in a society today that children should not be chastised, children should not be punished, children should not be disciplined. They should be free to do whatever they want to do. Let them have a free spirit. Well, I'll tell you, that's a teaching of the devil. It really is a teaching of the devil. And it's not a free spirit. God wants the spirit to be, quote, disciplined. Why? Because God likes obedient kids? What is the future? He knows that no child will remain a child all their life. He knows the child is going to grow up. Although he knows that every one of you, what did Jesus say? Be what? We have this horrible English word. Be perfect as your Father is perfect. Horrible word. You know what that really means in Greek? Pick up. Complete. Be complete as your Father is complete. How complete is your Father? How complete is God? Is he incomplete? He's what?
Always
how is the Father? Is the Father incomplete or is he complete? He seems incomplete. How is he complete in?
Righteousness.
What is righteousness? What is right? What is decent? What is upright? What is, you know, we would use the term modern American terminology or ancient American terminology, common sense. So what's a prophet do? We have been called forth, those two trumpets. I'm not telling you to go out and prophesy. That's not it. Use what the prophets have already said. Their words are a whole lot more effective than any of you could ever rattle out of your mouth. In truth and in judgment and in righteousness. Blow the trumpet in Zion. Why? Do you know that there is a scripture that says that, because of the controversy over Zion, I am going to come. Did you know there's a controversy over Zion? Did you know there's trouble over Zion? What does Zion represent? No, Jerusalem is the daughter of Zion. What does Zion represent? Who was the first king? David was the first king. And that area, city of David, is called Zion. And Isaiah, what does it say? The law will come forth out of, and the word of the Lord will come from. So the controversy is not the physical territory of Zion. The controversy is the law of God. Have you ever been in a world where the law of God is a controversy? The law has been done away with? The law has no effect in your life. Jesus took it all away. Is that a controversy? Well, yeah, it is. And he says, I'm going to come because of that. That is not true. There's no controversy with God, but there is controversy about people who look at Zion, the law, and say, what is a prophet supposed to do? Teach truth. Teach righteousness. Teach that which is true. Where do you find truth? It's not out of, quote, the Spirit moved me. It's out of hindsight. What you have learned in Genesis, what you have learned in Exodus, what you have learned in Leviticus, what you have learned in Numbers and learned in Deuteronomy, that is hindsight, which within that hindsight is a mountain huge, bigger of insight than there is of hindsight. Because that's the object of the history. You've heard the old adage, right? If you don't learn from your history, you're bound to what? How dumb can we get? The only history that matters to you and to me is our heritage. Where is our heritage based at? It's based upon the Word, living creator of heaven and earth. There'll be a trumpet that's going to sound to all the nations of all the world as well. But what did, you have to excuse me, I don't remember, I didn't write it down. It's coming to my brain right now. The Apostle Paul said, the judgment begins now with what? The house of God. Okay. Accept it. Want it. Let it come. Let it come to you. Let it come to the entire body of Christ. Let it come.
Because if it does not come, we will not know what God has in mind. Can you take the hardship from God? Can you take the punishment from God? Can you really take it? The answer is,
it should be yes.
Now, when you do it, what's he going to do? He's going to have, what's this word, horrible word, overused. He's going to have mercy upon you. We have that word, you know, mercy rather than this. What does mercy mean? Kindness. He's going to be kind to you. And when you do the lulav, I want you to pay attention to those words. Because we are asking people to come into the kindness of God. Bringing them in. We want them in. Not because we want them punished. I don't want any human being that I have ever met in my entire life, no matter how who he or she is, having to go through life without the Day of Atonement. I want that for them. They're not required by the Creator of Heaven to come and live 40, 50, 60, 100 years of their life under righteousness. They're required to do one thing. Do you accept the death of the first goat as a people, as a nation, as a congregation? Not just individuals, because that's not what it's talking about. It's about the entire nation. Bring forth that which is for the people, and all this is one, two goats. Not everybody brings forth a goat, just one for the entire nation. This is what's so beautiful about the Day of Atonement. The trumpets is a warning. And people are going to be very, very frightened. They're going to be very, very scared when the wrath of God comes, when the Lord of Shavuot moves in. So we're looking, I want you to look at it. When we look at these last three holy days, the holy period, this particular month of seventh month, I want you to look at it as not for you. The first three were for you. The latter three is for everybody, especially the house of Israel first, because that's the word of God. And then all the nations will come. As was it say there in Isaiah? The nations say, come, let us go up to the house of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways and of his method and his ideas and how we should live. It will happen, people. This story is fantastic. And so when we think about the prophets, you read the prophets, you read Jeremiah, you read Isaiah, you read all these, Ezekiel, you read them all, there's something I want you to be able to become. In Malachi, and I will end it here. For behold, the day comes. Malachi 4th verse. That shall burn as an oven. And all the proud and all that they do wickedly shall be stubble. And that day that comes shall burn them up, says Yahuwah of Shavuot. That it shall leave them neither root nor branch. But unto you that fear my name, shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. Why would you need, you who trust and fear and love God, why would you need healing? You know why? Because you do need healing.
I need healing. I fear the Creator of heaven and earth. I need His purification. I need Him to heal and get rid of everything that I either can see or cannot see. Everything's related to my life or not related to my life directly. I don't care what it is. And ye shall go forth and grow up like calves in a stall, not walking out in the wilderness, wandering around. You're going to be taken care of. And ye shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be as ashes under your soles of your feet in the day that I shall say. So says Yahuwah of Shavuot. And then he says, a very powerful statement. Remember ye the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded unto them in Horeb. For all of Israel, the statutes and the judgments. Remember we went through those two words in Hebrew? It's not commandments, it's statutes and judgments. If you don't understand the difference, take a look at it. Know the difference between the two. Behold, I will send Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of Yahuwah. And he shall turn the hearts of the father to the children, and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. What do you think that prophet's going to say? What do you think that prophet's going to say? Remember ye the law of my servant Moses, which I commanded to him and Horeb and all of Israel, the statutes and the judgments. That's what the prophet's going to say to all the house of Israel. You and all the house of Israel will really have something worthwhile to say unto your neighbor. You'll be there. May God bless you with understanding, bless you with how He thinks. And I tell you, I find that He is extremely kind. He will open up His word without measure. He will let you know what He's thinking all the time. If you ask Him some kind of trivial question of how did you create the ant, He says, that's not the issue. You are the issue. You are the one I've created. Everything is surrounded around you. You're the last thing I did. The last shall be first. You are the first. You are the primary one. You're the one why I did everything I did for. Don't pay attention to those things. I want to, where am I taking you? What is it you want? What is it you want me to say? I'm telling you what I want you to hear me say. You may want me to say something else. I'm not going to say anything to you. I'm going to tell you. So when you go to God, many times we ask God for healing. Don't get me wrong. But on the other hand, the side, I want you to ask God. I also want to know what you think. In fact, I want to know what you think first. And if you keep me in the bonds of blindness. You keep me in the bonds like you did Paul and say, hey, my goodness is good enough for you. Shut up. It should be okay with you. It should be okay with me. It should be okay with everybody. It's a thing of like saying, what is it that I want you to know? I want you to remember what I told Moses. And many of you have been here long enough to know. How many times did God talk to Moses? More than any other human being on the face of the earth. And it's quoted time and time again. Well, I must depart now. I'm exhausted. I need to go back home. I need to rest. And God bless the rest of the day for you. May He give you strength and know that, yeah, the trumpets are a warning. But it's a warning to the entire world. You have heard. You have listened. You're responding. And you will continue on listening. You will continue on responding. And you will wait for the time when the Son of Righteousness comes. And He will heal everything that ever was, that harmed you, that did damage you, that did cause you to even think evil about somebody, think bad about somebody, think that the other person is inferior to me, or inferior, period, because they don't meet up to God. All that is going to be gone for you who fear the name of the Creator of heaven and earth. I use the word Yahweh. It can be used Yahuwah. It can be used as Jehovah. It can be used as Yahweh. I don't care what you want to use it for. I just use the word Yahuwah because it has special meaning to me personally. However, you can call Him God. It doesn't offend me. It doesn't trouble me. Because you know the power behind it. Call Him El Shaddai. Because He's the most strongest thing there is. And without El Shaddai being on your side, there is no protection. El Shaddai protected Noah and his family and all the animals. And He destroyed the rest.